Oh, yeah. We're good. We're dancing. We're happy. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me is Mark Carman. Hey, Carm, are you there?
I am right here, Patty.
How are you feeling today, our second day of Marine Corps Educators Workshop in San Diego?
Well,
yes.
There was one moment today, and I think you might have the same moment, where all hope was basically lost.
I don't think you ever lost. Well, okay, we had different. I will say this, Carm. You and I had different moments of losing hope, I think. Yours was more emotional and psychological during a very long presentation, and mine was physical. I'm gonna just go on a limb. We're being vague for our not on purpose. Our audience will learn.
Well, we had one major expedition where we were, for myself at least, where mine was actually different than yours. Mine was on the football field.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about for me. I was carrying a man. I was carrying 30-pound.
A lot of stuff. Cans. Ammunition cans.
Ammunition cans, right? And as I dropped off the 160-pound body that I was lifting, real human being, and then they said, pick those cans up and start and run back down there.
Yep.
I thought that it was going to be the loss of the lunch. I really did, but somehow, some way, I was able to battle through. But that was not a comfortable feeling.
How much of getting through that? Maybe we should go back, but since we're starting here, though, we are talking about CFT, which is a component of the training that is at boot camp for the Marines. And Carm and I did maneuvers under fire, which entails some sprinting, some belly crawling, some low crawling, and some serpentining. They don't call it that, but some zigzag running. And then, rescuing a fellow soldier, one by a drag and then by a fireman's carry over his shoulder. And then carrying the ammunition cans, two 30-pound ammunition cans down the field. And Carm, you rocked that so hard. How much of getting that done was your own desire to prove that you could succeed, and everyone screaming from the sidelines and sort of being in that scrutiny, the camera on you, all that stuff?
Well, I was one of the last to go, so it was fun that I did get some people watching and some cheers, which were necessary. But I had just lost to Jackie Paulus in the ammunition can lifting.
That's where true.
She had done, I think, 80 some odd lifts, and it was in the 60s, right with you, Patty, and so I was a little bit embarrassed by that. And I had to redeem myself.
I love Jackie, but I kind of wonder if she was doing the official because, our senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Lemke, was yelling at her to lock her arms. I don't know that we'll see in the video. We'll be able to check and see if she was doing the official Marine Corps ammunition lift. I'm just saying.
She's
a badass. I'm just saying. She's a badass. But
she is a badass. She's a badass that definitely cheated. So
there is that, but it
was still a loss, though, right? I mean, if you cheat and you win, you cheat.
You felt
and you win.
The loss. Hey, I was behind both of you, so I got it to 58, I believe. Thank you for saying 60s, but it was 58.
People should know that Patty had the most heart of anybody in there. She had a drill sergeant screaming at her, "Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up!" You were totally gassed, and you bent down, and you picked it up, and fought to do two more lifts. That was the heart of a champion right there.
Hey guys, real quick,
are we on the air?
Yeah, no, we're on the air. Can we do this real quick though? Here, Bob, can you turn my? There we go. Hold on.
Wait, let's start the show.
Tonight, it's
hey,
day
Carm.
Two of Pretty Late at Marine Boot Camp as Mark Carman rides sidecar once again. We'll cover all the Super Tuesday results with Representative Kifowit and LA Times reporter Mark Baraback. Finally, we'll get a Chicago weather update with some good news for Patty's return this weekend. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
you should be able to play that. Yes. Yeah. No, there's cool. No reason to make sure that we,
stupid computer.
Also Representative Cabello.
Cabello, yeah, that's 45. Yeah.
Yes.
Late booking.
Last second. He didn't want to come on. He and I were going back and forth because he was all, "I've been up since 5:30," and I'm all like, "I was up since 5:30. Bring it." So he will be on the show as well.
Sweet.
But yeah, so we have. So let's take this back a second. We'll come back to CFT if we get the chance. But because that was a brutal thing, and you killed it, Carm. But we started the day, Craig, and everybody. We started the day very early. With chow, with everybody else, you know, getting a breakfast and all, getting our protein and carbs on. And then we started being sort of trained the way a recruit to prepare us on how to respond at boot camp by our drill sergeant, our drill instructor, pardon me, because I've been told the drill sergeants are in the Army. By the way, Carm, that is Staff Sergeant Lemke's answer to everything is, this isn't the Army. He does it every time.
Yep. Honestly, I completely forgot that we started the day, the first 15 minutes of a Marine, on what they call the yellow footprints. You get off the bus and they scream at you, get off the bus, yes. Get off the bus, get off the yep. bus. And then you just get blitzed standing there as you enter the, what would you call it, Patty, the barracks for the first time or whatever you would.
Well, the benches, the first room we went into were the benches where we empty our pockets is without the way they describe it for the recruits. And the yellow feet, by the way, I know it was crazy.
We had a long day. We had a really long day. My God.
I know.
That was like a week ago.
So much has happened since then, Craig. We've been, and I know Rob Martier and Esmeralda are busy and there's a lot going on, but we're reeling from our experience, Craig. The yellow footprints, which are also at Parris Island. So any Marine recruit, when they arrive to boot camp, as Carm said, they are yelled at to get off the bus, get off the bus. And they line up immediately on these yellow footprints that are fluorescent. And they're yellow so that when they arrive in the dark, because it's so early in the morning, it's like 5 a.m., they're able to see them. And they all stand in formation with their toes at a – yes?
Let me correct Patty on this. And then, by the way, everything you said today to this point in the show, I'm amazed that you remembered and I forgot all of it. But they actually arrive at 9 at night. And they
oh, that's right.
They come at 9 at night, and then they're up for 24 hours. They do not let them sleep the first night. Continue on, please.
It's no, but I talked to somebody. Night. No, but it turns out, like, even that 24 hours, it turns out kind of turns into 48 hours. So we watched a video, Craig, of the – and anybody can watch this, as a matter of fact. I saw that there are videos on YouTube that shows that first sort of cycle of arriving at the Marine Corps recruits – depot in San Diego, and we only got a sample of it. Look, you know, Carm and I are fatigued, and it's been a long day, but nothing compared to what the men at San Diego, and by the way, I say men because it's only male recruits that are trained at the boot camp in San Diego. All the women are trained at Parris Island in North Carolina, and all the and actually all the recruits that are east of the Mississippi. Although, Carm, I do have to say, I found out today that, you know, one of the reasons that we're here is that Illinois is also, and we met a lot of young men from Illinois and Indiana. And I don't know if you know this, but Indiana actually is east of the Mississippi. So I'm not sure what their I'm not sure what their dividing line is anymore.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's not identify all those loopholes here.
It says areas west of the Mississippi, except Louisiana, and including parts of Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Yeah, and other parts of places if we decide.
Hey, look, it's the Marines. They make it up as they go. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Let's take a quick break here and see if we can and string it all together and figure out what happened to us today. Carm, I think we're ready to explain what happened, right? A little bit?
We are. And I was going to relay the part about dinner where I learned everything about how there should be more women out in San Diego because that would make for a better world, right, Patty?
Well, I think that it would make for an accurate training because men and women are deployed in the same units. So
yes.
I think that they
yes.
should be trained at least on the same at the same boot camp, if not in the same platoons. But anyway, our live broadcast from Marine Boot Camp in San Diego is brought to you by the VA loan expert, David Hochberg. Visit WGNDavid.com. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Feeling it. I know that, Carm, what kind of music do you hear in your head when you're enduring some of the challenges that we went through today at the Marine Corps boot camp?
Lady Gaga.
Little Lady Gaga. Yeah. All right. Just checking.
No.
Just
probably an Eye of the Tiger, let's be honest.
Oh, see, if I'd done that, I might feel better right now, but I didn't do that.
You were people should know, Paddy Vasquez was absolutely phenomenal today. Battled like top 5% of everybody out here. Was lifting cans, was running, was digging in the dirt.
Go
ahead, all tell right. the story, because right. I was trying right. to leave so, you there.
I know. So we went through – okay, so hold on a second. Let me go back. So before I tell you the sadly sort of – it's not tragic. It's just another day in my life. But one of my high points, I believe, Carm, for me – I don't know if what yours was, but I really enjoyed the moment where we were sitting in those seats in the squad bay where the recruits are about to meet their permanent drill instructors, and the senior drill instructor – the senior drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Gray, came out. And, I mean, this guy was out of every Marine casting call that I've ever seen of a movie. And he's telling us what he is promising his recruits and what he expects from them. And then he is going to introduce them to the other drill instructors, and this door opens and these two guys march out. I can't describe it, but it was so cool. And I talked to Staff Sergeant Gray afterwards, and I asked him if there's anything different he does for the educators. And he said, no, I do it exactly the same. I want you to know what it's like. I want you to be able to share this story about what my commitment is and how much the recruits mean to me and what I will do for them. And he's been a Marine for, I believe, 14 years, and he still, mm-hmm. every single day, he remembers his very first day as a Marine. That was my favorite moment of the day, and seeing the racks, which are their beds, their bunks, and seeing where the recruits live. And actually also that Q&A we saw today, Carm, where the young men were they were talking about which, Craig, this is not something I ever thought I would see. I mean, of course it's happening, but they have basically a group discussion with the young men about sexual assault, drug and alcohol abuse, and spousal abuse. And these young men were very brave, I think. I mean, I don't know how long. I believe they'd been there. If I recall correctly, I met a young man named Jesse from St. Louis who said he'd been there for 9 weeks. But they were all willing to share stories about themselves, about people in their lives who they knew were affected by drug abuse and how negatively it had impacted their lives and how they were committing to be better. And it was I was really blown away by that experience.
That sounds like a really, sentimental kind of patriotic feeling that you're getting as all this is happening. And then in the meantime, Mark Carman sitting there thinking of Poker Face or something like that.
Well, he's... Yeah. Is that what you were thinking with your rifle? Was it your rifle and your gun?
Yeah, Mark, what's going on there?
Yeah.
All I know
Craig,
is
Carm was our our leader on the bayonet course today, and I don't think I failed, but I definitely stumbled on the job. Let's put it that way. Let me put it this way: Carm kicked ass. Jackie Paulus was a badass as well, just conquering these feats. And I wore a helmet. That's kind of what happened today.
Nice. Not everybody can wear a helmet. That's good.
Go ahead, Carm.
No, it's just interesting to think about everything that went on today. And you're talking about the first scene there when we're sitting in the Foot Lockers. Craig, you can imagine this. There's all of us civilians standing around, and there's a platoon that's all sitting with Indian style and on the ground. And the sergeant is sitting on a platoon, and he's talking about serious stuff like domestic violence and drugs and everything else. And there, any questions? And these guys would raise their hand, and they would stand up and say, "Good morning, Sergeant." And then they would ask, whatever question was on their mind. It was intimate, and it was intense all at the same time.
With about 80 educators surrounding them, on top of talking to their drill instructor. That's why I thought I was like. I mean, it wasn't for show. These kids are all, 18 to 21 years old, and this is for reals for them. And it was impressive. And then we were led out to a the bayonet course, which is basically a huge sort of desert-looking area, a lot of sand and obstacle courses. And we were instructed on – we watched a demonstration of four Marines running the course with their bayonets. They were crawling through tunnels, jumping into foxholes, using their bayonets to attack and kill tires hanging from chains, crossing a rope bridge. And I was kind of excited. I was curious as to how I would do. I was nervous about jumping in and out of the foxholes. It seemed like a lot of strain. And running in sand, I don't know if you're aware, is also very hard. So I was excited to sort of see what the challenge would be like for me. We were instructed to put on fatigues. We would put on pants and the tops, the blouses they're called, and a we also put on vests. We had they're not filled with they're not, what do you call it? What kind of vests were we wearing, Carm?
I think they were bulletproof vests, weren't
but
they?
But they're not filled. Yeah, but they weren't lined. But they were still heavy. I mean, the material was heavy, but they weren't – I don't think they were filled. I mean, they felt ridiculously heavy. And then the helmet and the rifle, all very heavy stuff. And then the four of us, Jackie, Paulus, Mark Carmen, Sergeant Hurd, who was kind enough to run the course with us. He was the only Marine who ran with us, with any of the educators. I asked him to, and he said, all day, every day. And he really is that guy. He is an incredible Marine, as they all are, but we really enjoy hanging out with them. Anyway, Carm, what was your title in this exercise?
Well, I think I was our – I don't know what my title was, but I was our vocal leader on that one where I did something out, which – what did I yell, Patty?
I don't know. Prepare to rush,
and then you guys would – yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Prepare to rush, and then Patty and everybody else would yell, prepare to rush, and then I would say, rush! And we leap up and go crazy.
Screaming. The idea is you're supposed to run screaming to intimidate your enemy. And so we're all laying face down on the dirt, and I – go to bolt up and realize that I may not be up to the challenge physically. Having had two children, apparently things change when you pop out of the sand and try running with a heavy rifle. Craig, you call the first day of CrossFit when they handed me a jump rope.
I do.
You felt awkward. I told you later that some people call it jump roping. I call it excessive Kegeling. There was a moment I made it through the course, but there was a moment where I was like, can I just lay in the sand for a little? I'm going to have to roll around like a cat in the litter. Yep, that happened at boot camp. And I don't know if I was happy or disappointed to hear that that's not the worst they've heard. So there you go. I did ask the drill instructors to please wash my fatigues as soon as they possibly could. There you go.
We finished the obstacle course, Patty turns to me and says, well, she starts telling a story that says, well, actually, there's probably some things that you just don't need to know. And I'm like, oh.
There weren't enough Kegels in the world for me to get through that bayonet course cleanly. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studios and Pearl Mortgage Studios in San Diego, where Mark Carmen and I are participating in the Educators Workshop. Today, we were at the Marine Corps Recruits Depot, and we have on the line with us someone who is familiar with the yellow footprints. We have Representative Stephanie Kifowit, who represents the 84th District and went through Parris Island. How are you doing tonight, Representative?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Patty?
I am a little exhausted. I got some pains in places that I don't know if you heard our story before the news. But Carm, this is Representative Kifowit, who did everything we did today. Representative Kifowit, we did the yellow footprints. Obviously not. Now, when you arrived at Parris Island and stepped off and were yelled at to get off that bus, what was going through your mind in that moment?
Nothing goes through your mind. You just do what they tell you to do. Your mind shuts down and it's all instinct.
That's kind of what they want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they want. We did the bayonet course today.
And, oh, that was fun.
Fun, yes. You use the word fun. I don't believe you'd had. I don't believe you had had babies when you did the. You had experienced pregnancy, and I apparently have not been working certain muscles enough to be able to perform that as well as I would have liked to. I don't know.
Oh, come on, Patty. You've been doing CrossFit. Should have been nothing for you.
Here's the thing. It turns out, one, they kept having us hydrate a lot. Two, it was lying in the dirt and then popping up and yelling. I think it was a combination of – and running in the sand. I think it was a combination of all that I realized I should probably do more Kegels. I have not been working out the appropriate muscles, Representative. Yeah, but how old were you when you went through? You didn't think that story was going to end that way, did you?
Oh, no, it's all good. I'm all about all good. Physical exercise. Oh. All exercise is good for me. It's all good. I was 18. I actually signed up for the Marine Corps when I was 17, and I had delayed entry, and I actually shipped out shortly after my 18th birthday.
Wow. And what drew you to the Marines? What made you decide to choose the Marines?
That was my teenage act of rebellion. I had just graduated. I didn't have much to do, and actually, it is kind of a funny story. I was at my friend's house in Midlothian, hanging out, and I'm like, I got nothing to do, you know. And I'm going to go to Harvey, Illinois, and sign up for the Marines. And all my friends are like, what? And so, yeah, I got out of the phone book, went to Harvey, Illinois, signed up for the Marines. And then I shipped out 8 months later. And then, you know, after I signed all the papers, then I called my parents and said, oh, guess what I did, Mom? I joined the Marines. And she was like, what?
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that was my crazy thing I did when I was a teenager.
Yeah, other kids, they get piercings and tattoos. Go ahead, Carm.
No, well, I'm just curious, looking back on it, did it change your life? I mean, that was an interesting spur-of-the-moment decision, but looking back, would you say this changed my life in ways that I would never have imagined?
Oh, well, absolutely, because I did it. Well, my parents, they donated all my college fund to the divorce attorneys. So,
wow.
So there was really no avenue for me to go to college or to better myself. I was at community college at the time, actually, COD right there, and taking a couple classes here and there. But absolutely, I didn't think it would impact. You know, I just thought, it's a couple years, it'll be fun. But I got out. I was able to get my MAP grant and a Pell grant, the Illinois Veterans grant, my GI Bill. I was able to get my college degree and my master's degree, and I was really blessed to be having programs that supported me in college so that I could be a better person than I was. The people I hung out with, they're still doing the same stuff, you know. Some of them are still doing the same stuff they did when I was in high school, you know. So it's like, I could have been right there with them, you know, not knowing what I wanted to do in life, but instead I really, really am blessed. And you know, it's a phenomenal experience going. I was able to go to Camp Pendleton, California, right there, Marine Corps base, yep. And then I was stationed overseas in Okinawa, Japan. So it's fabulous, seeing other countries, and then I was able to go to Korea for 2 weeks.
How long were you, how many years were you in the Marines?
4 years active duty.
4 years active duty. I agree with you, and that seems to echo the sentiment that you expressed about, you know, open the world up to you and, you know, learn more about yourself. A lot of the men that we've met today, we've met recruits from St. Louis and Chicago, and they were, I believe it was 9 weeks. A couple of them were about to be fitted for their uniforms today and tomorrow, and that seemed to be something that they were very much looking forward to, an achievement that they've been working toward. But they were talking about how they were surprised. They surprised themselves by how they rose to the challenge physically. They were a little surprised at how hard it was for them mentally, was the thing that they were taken aback by. Does that sound familiar to you, the mental challenge of it?
I didn't have any trouble in boot camp, really. I mean, aside from, you know, not doing well on something, and then you have to get dug for like a half hour in the sand, please. You know, that's right. That's because Paris Island, see that, we Marines from Paris Island, you know, we don't get sunglasses like the San Diego people, you know. We're like hardcore.
We didn't see
Paris Island, you know, so we had sand fleas and all sorts of stuff over there in the island.
Well,
but, mentally,
yeah,
you know, I just mentally it stresses you out. But I mean, I guess I was pretty independent when I got there, so you know, I wasn't
right. Crying
home to mommy or you know all that stuff. I was just like, all right, bring it on. I, you know, I was always in sports, so it didn't really bother me. You know,
that's cool. So well, and
it was fine for me.
Well, Carm heard me rail for about how long? Only about 10 minutes, Carm, that women should be trained, the female Marines should be trained in San Diego. They only have female recruits at Parris Island. But
yeah.
Representative Kifowitz texted me. You said it's more of a demand thing. Is it on the part of the Marines not recruiting women, or is it women not seeking out position, being, you know, enlistment in the Marines?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. When I was in, and granted, I was in from 90 to 94, so that shows how old I am now. But when I was in, the Marine Corps was at about 200,000 Marines, and about 12,000 of them were women.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have to look at, you know, realistically, is the demand there? If the demand is there, if there's more women joining the Marines and they can open up another recruiting station, why not? But
right.
if Parris Island fits the demand and the need just fine, I mean, why make something you don't need? You know, I mean, it's just that's just my basic philosophy in general. If it works fine, I think in general you gotta get trained, so it doesn't really matter where you get trained, you know, as
right.
long as it's proper training,
right?
So,
you get what you need.
Parris Island's better. You're on an island, man. It's like it toughens you up more. You're not in San Diego by all the movie stars and stuff like that. You know, I mean, you can't get off that island. There's only one way on and one way off that island.
But they say it's not a very beautiful island. You say island and people start thinking about palm trees and white sand beaches. That's not the case, right?
No. The sand, like I said, my first experience with sand, please, we got in trouble. I can't even remember what we got in trouble for, but we had to do push-ups in the sand for, I think, like a half an hour or so. And
yikes.
I remember that night, thinking I had chicken pox. I was like, what is up?
Oh,
that was all
God,
fancy bites.
Bites.
All up and down my arms and my shoulders, because we were digging in sand fleas. It was sand flea season.
Well, apparently it's a pink eye season at the San Diego Marine Corps depot. That's what we heard a little bit about today. But I'm guessing that the kids are all vulnerable. You know, they're all bunking in this, you know, these huge barracks and
pink.
It's
pink eye when you like rub, when the little kid like rubs snot in their eyes or something like that. Don't, isn't that little kids? Look at that. They got a little pink eye. What is
No, I'm stirring. I'm
all the way. There's no pink eye in Parris Island.
There you go, Carm. Next time we'll see if we can go to Parris Island. How's that sound?
I like this competitive attitude.
Flea bites versus pink eye. That's what we're talking about now. I think that's
what it's
come down to. There's no pink eye.
Like little kindergartners get pink eye because they got snot all over themselves and they're running out.
Oh, boy. See what I did there? I didn't even know I was stepping on that. We want to thank you, Representative Kifowitz. We have to run. We really appreciate your time. And, by the way, how can people contact you if they want to reach out and share their concerns?
They can call my cell phone, 630-306-2888, or they can just email me at stephanie.kifowitz@att.net.
Excellent. We'll talk to you again very soon. I'm sorry we can't go longer, but we've got a very strict schedule. You know what that's like.
Oh, man,
right?
I got tons of busting on other branches. other branches, you know, come on. We bust on ourselves. No, it's all good. It's all good. We're all part
Carm
of the
and I
family.
Spent 10 hours being yelled at. Eyes, click. All right, then.
that's nothing, honey. That's nothing.
No, I know. Oh, of course.
We're all here to defend our country, and we're here to protect it. And all my men and my brothers and sisters in the armed forces, you know, thank you all that are out there. And, you know, it's a great thing that you're experiencing that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk to you again very soon. Get some rest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have a great
one. All right.
All right.
Thank you, too. More after this on 720 WGN.